Let us pray. God, may you use me today. May you speak through me, and may you draw us nearer to you. May you use the words of my mouth to glorify you. May we be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. For it's your name we pray. Amen. If you're feeling a little bit of deja vu, know that it's for a reason. We did talk about this verse, these verses some a couple of weeks ago. And in a recap, we find the disciples on the boat when this very strong storm comes. And this storm lasted for hours and was so bad that the disciples thought they were going to die. And then they saw this figure coming to them, walking on the water. And they thought it was a ghost. They thought, this is it. We're going to die. And then Jesus tells them, do not be afraid. It is I. And Peter, being bold, says, Lord, if it is you, call to me. Tell me to come to you. And Jesus does. And Peter gets out of the boat, leaps out of the boat, and begins to walk towards Jesus. And he walks for a little while, and then he begins to sink after he notices the strong winds. And he cries out, Lord, save me. Now, I think Peter sometimes gets a bad rap when it comes to this story, because people will look at the disciple Peter and say, well, you know, he got out of the boat, but he sank, and he must not have really trusted Jesus. But think about these things. This storm was so bad and lasted for multiple hours. And it was so bad that the disciples thought they were going to die. And Peter was willing to get out of the boat and walk towards Jesus. Also, Peter was the only one of the disciples that did get out of the boat. And so my competitive nature, I like to think that if the disciples said to Peter later on, hey, nice job walking on the water. Good one. That later on, Peter would have said, oh yeah? Well, how many steps did you take on the water? Because I took more than you. Because you didn't even get out of the boat. And of course, we find sometimes people focusing on that part where Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? But we also remember in another part of Scripture that Jesus says, if you have faith, even the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Peter took a huge leap of faith. I can think of a time in my life when I took a leap of faith, so to speak. During my sophomore year in college, when I was playing on our university's soccer team, we played a team in West Virginia the night before, and then the next day, we got to go whitewater rafting in West Virginia on the New River. And on our trip, I can remember during part of it, they pulled us to the side, and there was this giant boulder that was 40 to 50 feet high in the air, depending on how high the water was. And they said that we could jump off this rock into the water if we wanted to. And so they pulled over to the side, and they let those of us who wanted to jump off this giant rock into the water get out. And so I guess you could say, you know, that phrase that our mothers would always say to us, if your friends jumped off a bridge, would you do it too? I guess my answer is yes, yes, I would. And so I remember getting out of this raft, and the guides told us, they said, now if you get out and you go up that trail, you can't change your mind. You have to jump off. And I don't know how they enforce that. I don't know if they just pick you up and throw you off. But they said the trail is too small, it gets congested, so if you go up, you need to jump off. So I get up there, and I think this is an important part to tell in the story, and that is, I really like roller coasters, but I'm not a real big fan of high, unstable heights. And so I have no idea why I thought this was a good idea. But I got up there, got on top of the rock. It was my turn to jump off. And I looked over the edge. Bad idea. Really bad idea. But I looked over the edge and I quickly realized it looks a lot higher up here than it did down there. But I got the courage. I stepped back. I ran and I jumped off the rock. And it was a big jump. It wasn't like a small jump where you're barely in the air and you hit the water. It's one of those jumps where you jump and you're in the air for several seconds and your arms and your legs kind of start to flail a little bit. But I made it. I took this leap of faith. But what are some things that are different from my leap and Peter's leap? Well, for mine, I had the privilege of being able to see several other people jump off the rock before me, hit the water, come up, and get back into their raft. And not only that, I knew that these whitewater rafting guides had done this trip many times, stopped at this point many times, and the people had jumped off this rock many times. So, and that doesn't mean it wasn't dangerous, or maybe stupid in a little way, but it had been done many times before. But for Peter, people didn't walk on water. That's not what they did. I mean, just a little bit before this, they thought Jesus was a ghost. So this was quite an act of faith on Peter's part to trust him, to trust Jesus, to be willing to get out of the boat. And so I think within this passage, Jesus wants us to understand who he is. But I think Jesus also wants us to understand that God desires to do something great in us and through us. And I think we find Jesus emphasizing this in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, when he says, "The truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it." That is not only a message to the disciples then, but to us today. Jesus says that you will be able to do even greater works. But do we believe that? Now, sometimes this passage of Scripture gets distorted, gets kind of twisted, where people begin to take this where it says, Jesus said, "You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it." And it becomes about almost treating Jesus like a cosmic genie in the sky, you know, that we just throw up our whatever wishes we want to Jesus and he will grant them. And when I think of that kind of prayer, it reminded me of an older song from 1970 and unfortunately it was her last recorded song, by Janis Joplin. When Janis Joplin said, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches, I must make amends. I've worked hard all my life, no help from my friends. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?" It helps me to sing that in rhythm a little bit. I'm not a very good singer, but it helps me to remember the words. But it's kind of poking fun at that idea of, you know, Jesus, just give me what I want. But the purpose of prayer is so much deeper. One of my favorite theologians and philosophers is Soren Kierkegaard. And he said, the purpose of prayer is not to influence God, but it is to change the nature of the one who prays. I think that's so powerful. The purpose of prayer is not to influence God, but it is to change the nature of the one who prays. Now, I think if not most, probably all Christians would say prayer is important. But I think many times we feel like we don't know how to do that. How do we pray? How does that happen? And I think it's one of the more uncomfortable things for Christians. Don't believe me? Go, if you want to see Christians squirm, go to a meeting of some sort of Christians and ask for a volunteer for someone to pray out loud. Oh my goodness, the awkwardness is awesome. Because they like divert eye attention, people start pretending like they're doing something else. And once again, I don't think it's not because people don't want to pray. I really don't think that. I think it's because sometimes we just don't feel like we know how to pray. And the good news is we don't have to figure this out on our own. We have church tradition, we have church history, and we have Jesus who modeled this for us. We can look into the life of Jesus and we can see time and time again him being in prayer. This is not something we have to guess what it looks like. We can go and we can even look at Jesus' life and see him modeling this prayer for us. We can see in Jesus' life that he had this great connection with the Father. And we see that happening through prayer. And so I think it's crucial for us to understand that for us to have a great connection with God, the key to that is prayer. And Jesus is the door. So maybe this morning you feel a little disillusioned. Maybe you feel like you have little faith. Jesus wants us to hear today that the door is open and you are welcome to come in. Maybe you feel beat up by life or by others. Jesus wants you to know that the door is open and you're welcome to come in. Maybe you just don't, maybe you feel like God is distant, maybe a little inaccessible. Jesus wants you to know that the door is open and you're welcome to come in. Or maybe prayer for you is one of the joys of your life where you have seen God work time and time again and you just want to be closer to God and be more who God has called you to be. Jesus once again says, the door is open and you are welcome to come in. But as I said, many times I think people feel like, I don't know how to pray. And at times we are good at saying prayer is important, you should pray, or even saying, well, prayer is talking to God. Like that makes it any easier, that you're going to be talking to God. But I think one of the ways that at times we fail is we say prayer is important, that you should pray, but we don't teach people how. And there's a really important question that a great missionary named Corrie ten Boom asks. And I believe this hits on the importance of prayer in our lives. And Corrie ten Boom asked this. She said, is prayer your steering wheel, or is it your spare tire? Is prayer your steering wheel, or is it your spare tire? Does prayer that connects us with God, does it guide our lives and where we go and what we do? Or is it just our spare tire that we use in case of emergencies or when a mishap happens? We use prayer. Is prayer our steering wheel, or is it our spare tire? And as one of your pastors here at the church, I want to do my part to help you in this journey. And so there's something that I'm going to offer this many times, but I want to let you know the first opportunity for this. I'm going to be offering a three-part prayer school on May 11th, the 18th and the 25th from 6:30 to 8 in the chapel. Obviously, the chapel is a smaller place. We can't fit as many people. So if you're interested in being a part of this, I'm going to try to get it on the connection card next week. But if you're interested in this, email me, just dave@epworth.com. Let me know if you're interested in doing this. At this prayer school, I'm going to be sharing with you some of the prayer practices that have been important for my life, but I'm also going to be sharing with you prayer practices from church history, church tradition, that can help guide you so that you have a valuable, sustainable framework of prayer that can guide you in community prayer with your family and in your personal life. And like I said, I'm going to be offering this multiple times. I just wanted to let you know of this opportunity on May 11th, 18th, and the 25th. And in the future, I'm going to even try to offer a full-day Saturday option as well if the three-part thing doesn't work out for you. But why am I doing this? Why do I want to spend my time in such a way? It's because I can attest to the power of prayer. I've seen God work time and time again through prayer. That prayer, I believe, is where we have that great connection with God. And that it's through prayer that the Holy Spirit can work in our lives in a powerful way to not only transform our lives, but begin to transform our world. My friends, do we believe in the power of prayer? Do we want to be a people of prayer that we can take those leaps of faith like the disciple Peter and be willing to get out of the boat? Let's pray. God, we come to you right now and we thank you for this time together to see how Peter took this leap of faith to walk towards you. And God, may we be willing to take those same kinds of leaps of faith. And God, may it begin in prayer as we seek after you, for you to transform our hearts and lives and to transform the world. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.